Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Adam Wilson, CEO of Ben's Creek. Welcome back, Adam. How's things?
Yes, guys. Yes, good to speak to you again. I've missed you for a few weeks. Yes, things are very well. How are things over there?
Yeah, well, as you know, it's been we've had a pretty sobering or somber time with the death of the Queen. But I guess that sort of period of mourning is over now, and we can move on. And you know, God save the King and everything. So yeah, it's been pretty interesting times, let's say.
Well, all I can tell you is from over in the US, the coverage of the Queen's death has been global. It's absolutely, you know, every channel here, huge amount of respect, really, truly a global outpouring of grief there.
Sure. So, Adam, permit approval, what can you tell us?
I had hoped, I'll be honest, I had hoped the permit would be much sooner than this. And, you know, apologies if some of my enthusiasm and hope that it would come through, you know, it was a little bit delayed. The good news is it's in now, we have it. So this is a massive value add for the company. Again, I sound a little repetitive, but when we bought the company, it was a work in progress. These are all large value adds. As you add the reserves were always there, but as we added the reserve study that showed there's 22 million of mineable reserves, and now you're adding a permit to be able to get to those reserves. And, you know, key for us is the ability to operate two high wall miners. And that now, you know, there's a straight road, no obstacles in the way. So as I've said to you before, we have one mega high wall miner that is moving, that will move to the new permit. The second high wall miner is on order and will now, we will push the button. I signed the insurance yesterday, so the second high wall miner will be arriving in 2 to 3 weeks' time. So there'll be two high wall miners on the permit. And our good news is on the repairs to our high wall miner, which will be the third high wall miner that we, you know, we haven't promised that yet. And I'm going to try and be a little less enthusiastic and only deliver actual news rather than hoped. The third high wall miner will be repaired, you know, by the year end. So we'll have three high wall miners. And it was never about, is there room to put three high wall miners? It was about the fleet. The fleet, could we advance enough benching to put all three high wall miners? And as you'll see, I accelerated the move away from our contractor, who was limited by the amount of equipment he had, and we've moved to buying our own equipment. And that has gone, you know, better than I had hoped for. We have been adding equipment. Someone asked me about the drill. The drill's arrived, so we will be a little bit of drill and blasting to advance these benches. We've added a significant amount more equipment. It's all signed for. It's arriving on site piecemeal. Everything from the Harmon Energy deal is on site and working. And actually, for the brief period where we're tailing off the contractor and all this new equipment arrives, we're double equipmented. So we should be able to make really great progress on building the benches. And then once we build the benches, we're certainly going to run one high wall miner second shift, two high wall miners second shift, and we were evaluating whether we can put three on it. So the business is looking pretty good at the moment. I'm sending you regularly the videos of Luther as the trains arrive. You will have seen four trains left.
Luther's become an internet. He's become an internet sensation.
We had one of your viewers very, very kindly sent him a drink over PayPal, and you know, I hope he hasn't gone to his head. But he is becoming a bit of a sensation. So we should do three or four, depending on when they arrive. We've done two already in September. We're waiting on the third one this week. It's never an exact science when the NS send them in. I could certainly take a fourth one in September. So you're already seeing me now. Four in August. I could do, there's no guarantee it comes, but if it did, I could do four in September. And then we, you know, at the new permit kicks in next year, we'll be looking to do more than four a month. I'm looking to go five, six, seven, you know. So, you know, definitely from when we first started, when it was one a month, two a month, you know, you're already into that transition. My accounting period ends, interims end at the end of September. You know, I can't, you know, give you forecast because it's a public company, but you're going to see substantial difference from the period to the end of September, as you did to the period to the end of March, which every investor should be delighted with, I hope. You know, we have coal stockpiled, so if the train doesn't come, we just add to the stockpile. The pricing, we can come on to the pricing a little bit later, but we're still making good margins. So, you know, everything I think is looking pretty good at the company. And again, it remains my aim next year when we have a full year. I mean, remember, we only listed the company on 19th of October. We're coming up to a year's anniversary. If you want to look forward to next year, we should be mining at full capacity. I've got my eye on the dividend. I've gone over and over again, you know, how that would be paid. It would probably be paid alongside the company's, you know, year ends. So, and reporting. So we year end is March, you know, we report around June, July, and then half year September, you report around December. So that's what I've got in mind for that. And again, all of that a little bit dependent on where the met coal price is. And perhaps we can discuss that, you know, late this morning.
Okay, so it's basically all systems go, but we basically hoped it was going to happen before it did, and now we're progressing. But the interesting thing for me is that are our costs going to be going down per ton for two reasons? One, because we're going to have economies of scale, and two, because we own the fleet. So how dramatically is that going to affect, you know, our cost per ton, maybe in percentage terms rather than, you know, amounts? Can you give us a bit of
that's a really nice question. That's a really nice question. Almost sounds a little bit pre-planned, but it's a great question for me to answer. Yes, I mean, the whole point, there was three points in moving away from a contractor. The first point is when we started the business, we only raised enough capital because, you know, it was different. We're a young company, not in production. So we needed enough capital to remediate the wash plant and the railway line. So we needed a contractor, you know, before you could put a $20 million fleet in there. We didn't have the $20 million. So that's the first reason we started with a contractor. Second reason, the contractor charges a margin on everything. So the contractor's cost will dramatically decrease as we put our own fleet in. If even the financing on the fleet, if that were, and I don't want to give exact numbers, you'll be able to see them when they come out. But as an example, if you're paying $1 million a month for a contractor, the amount of fleet you could buy for that interest payment is phenomenal. In fact, you know, for $100,000, one-tenth of the million a month you would be paying, and these are not figures, these are illustrative figures, you know, 100,000 would buy you a huge fleet in interest payment because that's all you have to pay. So we are going to have a much bigger fleet, much cheaper than the contractor charges. Now, well, I'm in the switchover period. The contractor runs till the end of November because you just can't click your fingers and ask the guy to leave. They need mobilization time, and I need mobilization time to get the new fleet. But the good news is it's all on order and it's arriving not only into the dealership, but on site. So someone asked me about the drill. The drill's arrived. The WA600 loader has arrived, is in the dealer's yard, will be on its way. The Arctic and rigid trucks are arriving, are en route. So that's all great news in terms of cost saving. And the cost savings could be substantial. It's very difficult to give forecasts, but there are hundreds of thousands of dollars a month cost saving as you move from a contractor model to a owner-operator model. And the third major reason why you want to go owner-operator, as when we started with a contractor, we were only doing one highwall miner. So the contractor worked at his pace, his employees. Now that I own the fleet and I have my employees working it, I can go at my pace, which is fast, two shifts across two high wall miners, looking at whether it's possible to add the third. So owning your own fleet gives you the capacity to increase along the targets. I've always tried to be transparent with the listeners and viewers of your show, you know, often a little bit enthusiastic. We've always, together, we started the journey was 40,000 tons. Always for the last few months, I've been talking about, can we double production? You know, that million, that elusive million tons a year, multiplied the margin gives you the EBITDA. And we really are on track for that now. Yes, I've got to do a little bit of get the thing in, get the new equipment in, get rid of the old contractor, build the benching, set the machine. But in terms of a January to December target for next year, we're on target for that. We really are on target. No more permits need to be issued. I've sourced the equipment. It's just a matter of it coming in. The high wall miners are all sourced. Someone else asked me, you know, have you definitely got the second high wall miner? All I can do is do an RNS. People have criticized me on podcasts and say, why don't you do an RNS? There is an RNS out there that says the second high wall miner's on it. I have a contract with Mega. It is arriving. No point in arriving before I got the permit. And the permit was issued yesterday.
Yeah, and you must be building up a pretty good relationship with Mega anyway, no?
I would like to do more with the third high wall miner. I haven't contracted with them yet, but we are in talks with that. Maybe Mega could operate in some form or another the third high wall miner for me. And that would be ideal because now you've got huge economies of scale. I've got one company potentially isn't done yet. So, you know, there's no guarantee. But what I would like to do is potentially get Mega operating all three high wall miners if possible. You know, you see huge economies of scale as they take one team from one to another. The high wall miners can eat up a lot more coal. It's the fleet that you need to run in front of the high wall miner to create the bench for the high wall miner to sit on in front of the coal and then go behind the high wall miner as it goes through. Because as you guys know, we run an ESG program that looks to remediate the land immediately. And it's all about how long it takes the trees and the grass to grow. You plant grass and then let it settle. Then you put trees. We're doing it as we go. So that's unusual and different from other mining companies. You have a set time to do it. For us, it works well. It's almost like you're putting land in front of the high wall miner as it moves through and then filling behind it. So I need the extra fleet to be able to do that. And, you know, I've just got to keep my mining plan such that I keep all of the miners in coal and the fleet backfilling as we go.
So you've had four trains in August, I think it was, and you've had three, possibly four coming in September now. So a bit of a flush with cash, or are we, what sort of position are we in?
Yeah, we are very healthy with cash. We also raised money as the deposits. I always want to keep a good cash balance in a business like this. You never quite know when the trains come. And, you know, you guys, if each train takes 11,000 tons, you know, there's sort of $2 million a train in cash. So if you've got, you know, 40, 50,000 tons of inventory, you've got $10 million of inventory there. The trains are becoming more regular. It really was an advantage to us that we were able to remediate so quickly after the flood. We've got a much, much better relationship now with NS. They are coming in on time. I would expect the third one this week, the fourth one hopefully next week. There's no gap. I mean, they do come within a two-week period. So I don't want to sort of give you, you know, trains are coming here and then it's a week late. We've got more than enough cash to be able to sustain trains coming late in the month or even the following month. They do come like buses. NS are particularly keen to send the same train back and back. So you can get, you know, three or four trains in a short period of time. And we've seen that as they arrive. Also, the capital raise we did recently has allowed us plenty of capital to strike very good terms. And the fleet's arriving from Komatsu, from CAT. We're able to pick and choose against delivery into the dealers on very good terms for the company. We're not 100% financed or anywhere close to that because we've got the cash to be able to pay good deposits. So stockholders, especially ones that have been with us a long time, the company's never been in better shape than it is today.
So in terms of just moving to the met coal price, it seems to be that the world is going crazy for coal at the minute. I mean, even Thermal Coal is one of the other companies that we interviewed, actually has been approached many, many times for the thermal coal now because it's $450 a ton, even for the thermal stuff, never mind the metallurgical coal. But how do you see the coal story evolving over the next sort of number of months?
Well, again, you know, I hope that once we get into full production, we put all these pieces, which, you know, investors have been waiting patiently for us to do, then this story is all about the coal price. Now, that's where we want to be. People are able to look at the coal price and sort of we are a proxy for that coal price because we're a, you know, million ton producer. Carry no debt. It's convertible into the equity story. So the better the share price does, the less of that convertible loan note hurts shareholders. There's nothing fixed on the site. Reclamation is very small. So I really want to keep it down to this met coal price. My long-term view is incredibly bullish. I've been on your show a number of times. That's why we're there. It's all government spend, either defense, infrastructure, you know, moving to a greener economy as you need more electric vehicles, you need more solar panels, more windmills. All of these things are made out of longer, stronger, lighter steel. Even if you move towards electric arc furnaces, which are higher carbon, smaller mini mills, not rather than blocks up blast oxygen circuits. So all of that, I think, is positive. Obviously, the market in the US had a little bit of a shock with the Russian-Ukraine invasion and then Russia dumping the coal ahead of their ban, which kicked in August. And we have seen sort of $40, $50 move up. Prices stalled for the last couple of weeks around $280. At $280 or around there, we're still making a nice margin. As we produce more coal, the margin increases per unit. It costs less to make each ton of coal because you're spreading the overhead of a public company across more units. So it drops. We don't have a big overhead anyway. We're not anywhere near the size of some of the Alphas or Conturas or some of the other big players that have got legacy issues. So I do see the price picking up. But even where we are now, it's a very healthy margin for us, especially as we produce more coal and our cost per unit drops. You know, we are making a nice profit at this coal price.
No, everything is coming together as it was envisaged this time last year when, I mean, you're coming up to your anniversary now of a year listing. And obviously the pre-IPO and the pre-listing was around this time last year. So, yeah, everything has been achieved. Probably you would have wished all the way along that everything was quicker. But when you're dealing with big projects and big machinery and lots of things happening, and also waiting for permits.
Government agencies can be, you know, they're employed almost to create work for themselves. So it doesn't behove them to turn these permits around quickly. You know, we will be applying for more permits. The first one's always the hardest. They're 5-year permits, so we should be in good stead. Another question I get sort of, and you've touched on it there, is the anniversary of the listing. Clearly, there are lock-ins that will come off. I think our largest shareholder, who has visited us again this week and are delighted about the permit, you know, they have always talked about staying in it for the long term and collecting the dividend. That is, coal is not the sexiest, you know, certainly not like an Amazon or a Netflix or a growth stock. So, you know, I've always been aware to drive the ultimate share price by those dividends. And my conversations with our largest shareholder have always been around, you know, getting to a position to pay the dividend. We still, you know, you've got to just give us a little bit of time as it goes, you know, revert many times to we only listed on the 19th of October. We've done a huge amount since then to get this into a producing coal mine, but we are virtually there now.
Yeah, I think it's all coming to into play, and you're in a current situation where, yeah, the market has been pretty woeful, let's be honest, across the board. I think everybody's probably sick of me saying that, but you've currently got a market capitalization of £129 million. Actually, from a UK perspective, the strength of the dollar is actually probably helping how much you will make in sterling terms.
We actually report in dollars, so it should be neutral for us.
Okay. So, but when that dividend is converted back to pounds, it's going to be more beneficial than it was. So, you know, 129 million market cap. If you do a million tons next year, I don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility that you can have EBITDA of exactly that. If you get the economies of scale, as you discussed, and all the costs are going to be reduced because you're going to own your own fleet. And that's without saying that the price of coal, you know, starts to edge back up, because I'm pretty sure, I think, based on the economics of the market at the minute, it should. We don't know for sure it's going to, but it really probably should. So all of those things means you're going to be operating next year probably on a PE of 1 to 2, and that seems a bit crazy.
Listen, even if I don't want to give a forecast. I want to get into full production. Once we're in full production, I would then hire someone to do research on us. So there'll be a public document available detailing. But you know, give me a year at least to help build out the model. So that's why we haven't gone to a research house prior to, you know, finishing out our first anniversary. But, you know, even if you're wrong, a PE of 2, 3, 4, you're way below the PEs of 10 that are enjoyed by, you know, the companies we've often talked about on this show, Warrior, Metcoal and the like, and all of those bigger companies with sort of Warrior with a 3 billion market cap and 600 billion of debt, you know, you're nearly 4 billion, you know, and the production we would be, you know, not quite as much, but we're not far behind. You know, you're exactly right. The multiple, but and even if the stock won't move, you know, as a dividend play, you know, if you start paying out the dividends that we're hoping to pay out, which we've been consistently talking about, and we've been consistently saying it would be next year, you know, you divide the dividend into the share price, and this is a great play. It's a fantastic play if you bought it on the IPO. It's still a great play today, you know, so, you know, that's really where our drive is.
Okay. It's been great talking to you again, and we look forward to speaking to you when that high wall miner arrives, and getting ready to rock and roll. Yeah.
Well, what would be nice, guys, it was nice to see you sort of halfway through the project. When we're fully up and running and everything's in place, you know, toward the end of the year, certainly, you know, beginning of next year, it'd be great to get you guys over with your video cameras, and we can actually point here at the miner. Here's the production, here's the coal, and reward the faith of people that have stayed with us in what has been a volatile share price, you know, being up and down all over the place. And just to let you know, we were nominated at the AIM Awards dinner, which is coming up recently. I hope it's not the kiss of death, but we have been nominated for a new company of the year. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed for that one, Adam. As ever, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks very much for your time.
Bye, guys. Always nice to speak to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.